This meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you for joining the Latin Generation panel call on 5th of September 2017. We have Mariana Ahmedbad, Amadou Lee, Mats Duffberg, Michael Boland, Pichinan Koo, and Sarmat Hussain on the call at this time. So over to you, Mariana.
So is there anyone on the call who is not called? I mean, whose name was not mentioned this morning? No. Dennis has some problems with Adobe Connect. Okay. For today's meeting, I have planned to try to finish draft principles for inclusion and exclusion of code points. The repertoire also draft principles for the raw variants, and there were a lot of discussions about principles last meeting we had in the repertoire group. The document is in the Adobe room. It is almost clean of any comments. We have a few comments at the end of the document. So, Matt, because I was following, but I was not, well, let's say, I will give the floor to the Matt just to try to explain us what are the problems and is there any proposals to finish these principles. Matt, please.
Thank you, Mirjana. we don't see the comments in the document sharing. I understand the proposals.
I'm seeing the comments. I don't know.
Okay, the comments. Yes. The comments are further down.
Yeah, the comments are further down, but close to the end
so,
of the
So, there was one comment that number four and number eight were kind of overlapping, and the proposal is, or actually it was number three and number eight, and now it's renumbered. Proposal of a breakout of number four and with additional text, and then to remove what is now number eight, as you can see. Number three says that if it's a mark, then it must be included in its context. Number four says that if we have a sequence, and a context means that we include it as a sequence, not as a single code point. Number four says that a sequence, then we must support that specific sequence by at least one language, in the same way as we support separate code points. And then what is now number eight is redundant and can be removed. That's the proposal after some discussions that you can see in the comments.
Okay, Sorry.
Anyone wants to add anything? Is Dennis online?
Dennis?
I'm on the phone. I'm not in the Adobe Connect room, but I'm on the phone. Yeah.
Okay, Dennis, can you...
You were the one. Yes, please.
Sorry, what was...
Dennis, have you looked at the proposal that I made?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. Yeah, I think you have...
Have you looked at the proposal?
Yes. Yes, I believe it's merging the two, and now it's one single... One guideline, which is better than two. Yeah. Looks fine to me.
Anyone else have any comments or suggestions around what we see here on the inclusion principles? Can we do this update then? Accept my proposals?
Yes, I think so. Nobody is objecting.
Anyone for? Ahmed,
we have comments in the chat room. Yeah.
For and Sean Paul. Yes. Okay, then we can scroll down. There are comments on in the. Under the exclusion principles, about the last sentence in the introduction. However, code points letter A through Z are never excluded, even if they meet some exclusion principle below. And there was objection to have it. It was there in a previous version, and it was another place, and it was moved up here into the introduction. I don't think that it matters if we have it or not, because A to Z will never be excluded. However, how much we would ever try to exclude it? So I think that we could remove that sentence, and it might create some confusion, because the reader might not quite understand why it's there. So Ahmed suggest that we delete it. Dennis suggest that we delete it. Anyone against deleting it?
Matt, this is Dennis.
Okay. Yes, please, Dennis.
Yeah. Sorry, because I cannot follow what you're. Looking at the Adobe Connect room. So you are in the sentence, so it's the first paragraph in exclusion principle, the last sentence, starting however. Is that what you're referring to?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I believe it, like I said in my comments, I think it seems to introduce an arbitrary exception to the rule, which it's not, because all of these code points A to C, they meet all inclusion criteria and none of the exclusion criteria. So by definition of our inclusion exclusion principle, they are in. So I don't think there is a need to call out this specific range. Like I said, it seems to introduce an exception, which in reality it is not.
So can we then, I think that we have agreed that we remove this sentence. Okay, then we go to the exclusion principle one. The code point is disallowed, IDNS 2008 protocol. And Dennis pointed out that it's not only if it's disallowed, even unassigned. No, not scrolling down.
Okay.
Here, none. So I have added disallowed or unassigned by IDNA 2008 protocol. Anyone against that change? I don't think that anyone could be against it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I think we agree that we do that. And then in number three, it said, unless it meets one of the relevant inclusion criteria, but that is, it's not matching the way that the inclusion criteria works. So it should be unless it meets all of the relevant inclusion criteria. So that's the proposal. Anyone wants to comment?
Yeah, no, this is Denny for the queue.
Yes, please, Dennis.
Thank you. So the addition of relevant, all of the relevant, so I think before it was just all of the inclusion criteria. Yeah? So the definition is that a code point is going to be included if it meets all the criteria. Right, that's on top of the inclusions principle, right? Second sentence in the introduction.
No.
So the question.
All of the relevant.
Yeah. So the relevant means that there's going to be a qualification of. So that's the question. So when you say all the relevant, I don't know if maybe it's semantics, but it seems to me that you're going to pick and choose which inclusion principle applies to the code point.
Okay. If we go back to the inclusion criteria, now I scroll up.
Yep.
Well, applicable, it says there. So it may be better to change to applicable.
Okay.
In the inclusion principle says that all applicable criteria must be met to include a code point.
So, okay.
I scroll down number three again. So it should be changed to unless it meets all of the applicable inclusion criteria. Not relevant.
I think that's better.
So we have the same word. And the same word up and down. And the reason why we have applicable is that a non-mark code point, it does not have to, I mean, the sequence criteria about marks is not applicable for non-marks. So that's why we have applicable. So that's a good point. So can we then accept this change? Okay, Ahmed, do you want to elaborate? Ahmed, right, if it needs all the inclusion. Yes, please.
Yeah, actually, if it is already in inclusion list, then why should we discuss in the exclusion list? If it is, it completes all the inclusion criteria, then it should be part of the inclusion criteria, not the part of exclusion.
Right. I see what you mean. Inclusion Principle 3 talks about deprecated or not recommended, and the inclusion principles don't have that discussion. So maybe it'd be easier if we had just one list of criteria. So we could
then we can use word even it means rather than unless.
Well, here it says that it's okay to use deprecated or not recommended if it meets all the applicable inclusion criteria and there is no alternative code point sequence. So even though it's deprecated or not recommended, We don't exclude it if it meets the inclusion criteria and there is no alternative. One possibility would be to move all the exclusion principles up to the inclusion part and just reverse the statement. Should we do that instead?
Mr. Sarmad, I'd like to...
Unless and even, I don't know. Bill, do you want to comment? You're the native speaker.
We could do that, but I think it may be a little clearer this way, even if we have some perceived overlap.
Sarmad wanted to say something, Matt.
Thank you. So I'm just thinking aloud here, but moving all the exclusion criteria, reversing their logic and moving them into inclusion criteria may actually not be exactly the same thing logically, because I think the way inclusion is set up is that things are generally excluded unless they have to be included. That's the inclusion principle from RFC 6912. So by default, everything's excluded. I'm just thinking, I don't know the wording, how it will show up, but if we move things from exclusion to inclusion by default, one may end up with having a situation where things may start becoming included by default rather than excluded by default. So we just need to, make sure that we keep that inclusion-based method intact. Thank you.
Thank you, Samad. It's a good point. I think it could be handled by changing the language and maybe adding something. But my suggestion is that we keep it as it is. And if people are fine with number three as it's written, besides that changing relevant to applicable, then we could be done with the principles, and we can take the next step instead, and not spending more meetings. And but still, if we see something later on, of course, we can bring it up again. So Mirjana, suggests that we keep it as it is. Does anyone wants to change, merge them, or do some other changes? I have to scroll down my person. No one has raised his hand or her hand. Anyone against taking it as it is?
Jean-Paul is also agreeing.
Ahmed, you say, well, the native speaker bill says that it's better with unless than even though, I guess that you mean, even though it meets the applicable inclusion criteria. What do you say, Bill? I trust on you since you're the native speaker.
I didn't go with it that way, yes.
Ahmed has agreed. So we have... Ahmed has agreed that
okay.
At least
so
it
Ahmed,
stays as it is.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Ahmed. I will do the update in the Google room as we've decided now, and this will be a clean document without any comments or proposals, and it should be our final draft, I think.
Yes, I agree with you. Yes, thank you, Mats, very much. Thank you. It seems that we have finally agreed about our inclusion and exclusion principles for the repertoire. So we have one draft document ready. And now, Sarmat, please, could you show the variant principles? And I want to call Dennis or someone from the variant group, if Dennis cannot, to present the document and to see is there any more, is it necessary to have some more clarification and discussion about specific topics in this document. Could you take Dennis the floor?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mirjana. Yeah, I will just need someone to present it for everybody else that is in the Adobe Connect room. I can see
I can do that,
I'm using Google Docs. Sarma, you got it?
Yeah.
Yes, sorry about it.
Thank you. So I'm drawing from my Google Google Docs version, so I will try to drive from here. All right, so from the top, this document is trying to capture how we're going to analyze the different variant types within the Latin script and in the script and out of the script, namely Cyrillic, Armenian, and Greek scripts, and potentially others. So we start by, in the introduction section, we'll start by acknowledging the integrations panel's feedback as respective to what they're expecting from us in terms of variant analysis. And they come very clearly saying that they expect a very narrow set of homoglyph variant sets, which means those copoints that are designed to be identical to one another. And there are very obvious ones between Latin and Cyrillic and Latin and Greek, but there may be potentially others. So we are just to fulfill also the expectation of the community that it's not aware and not knowledgeable about past research on the Latin script, we aim to do this analysis here. Maybe it's not going to be photo analysis because of the past research. We are going to deal with the perhaps the most corner cases or most problematic cases here. But at the end of the day, the guiding principles, now I move into the second paragraph within the introduction, the guiding principle for variant analysis and variant determination within the Latin script is it has to be a categorical treatment of the similarities across the whole Latin community. Right? That means that perhaps a language convention that treats two characters the same as a ligature that's only given that treatment within a language community, that may not be enough to treat those two sets, two copoint sequence and a copoint, as a variant set for the entire script. And there are cases that we call out specifically down below in the examples. Okay? Any comments so far that I can capture? All right, hearing none, let's move on to a scope. So a scope, we tend to capture what is going to be our universe that we're going to deal with. And I see a Matt's comment here earlier today, and I'm trying to clarify. So for scope, we are saying we're going to start with MSR2 or the Latin copoint repertoire for the root zone. This may be looks different, but or the same, but are actually different. So Matt points out, shouldn't the analysis be limited to the repertoire that we suggest? That is true, but the plan of record, and Mirjana, please help me out here if the plan change. The plan of record is that both the repertoire group and the variant group will start in parallel, we'll do the work in parallel. So we variant group, we don't know what the copoint repertoire is going to be until you, the repertoire group, completes their work. So we are going to start, so that being the case, we're going to start out of MSR2, and once we are completed with MSR2, we're going to go look back to what the Latin copoint repertoire is, or at that point is what's their current state, and then we'll have to integrate new cases or remove cases that because of copoints that were removed from the repertoire. Does that make sense? So we're going to say,
yes.
Yeah. So Matt, was that clear? I mean, your ideally, yes, it would be, but we would have to wait until the repertoire completes their work and sign off on the repertoire and we can start the binding analysis. That's one way to do it. But the plan of record is that we're going to start in parallel.
This is Armad. Dennis, would you want me to manage a queue here?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, then yes, we have Max.
Thank you. Yes, it makes sense, but I still think that in this document we should not talk about MSR2. It's only a way of working that you start out with MSR2 and then you add the code points that the repertoire group suggests and remove the ones that we don't include. So in the end, it will be the variance based on the set that the group suggests. So I still think that we shouldn't point at MSR2 here, but at the repertoire that we suggest. I mean, you're looking at other code points in the work, it doesn't mean that they will be part of the product.
So,
Mr. Sharma, I'd like to be in the queue as well. Please
go ahead, Dennis. No, go ahead. I will address all feedback at the end, I think.
Okay. So, I think generally MSR works, but MSR2 specifically may not work if we make it the latest version or applicable version of MSR. That may make it more generic. That may even partially or completely address Matt's comment. The reason I say that is that there may actually be a MSR3 version coming out maybe before the end of this year. So in that case, for example, MSR2 may not be relevant anymore. So make it a generic MSR rather than a specific version of MSR or latest version of MSR, something like that. And maybe that helps also address the comment by Max. Thank you. And there's nobody else in the queue.
Okay, thank you, Sarma. So I think both of your comments are related. So let me just start from Sarmat and then going back to Matt. So let me paraphrase what you just said. You're saying stating that MSR2 may not work, but not because of the universe that MSR2 contains, but because of the version control, right? That there's going to be an upcoming MSR3, and then we might want to look at that new version as well. But in principle, what we're talking about, we have to work based on something, a starting repertoire for us to look at variants. And what we are suggesting here is we start out of MSR. Okay, so no versioning. But in reality, MSR, in actuality, is going to be MSR2, right? Because that's the latest one that we have available. Is that true, Sarma?
Yes, at this time, that's the applicable version.
Exactly. So you just say that not calling out specifically MSR version 2 because later on there's going to be a 3, but keep it open, MSR, and we add new code points as the MSR version keeps updating itself. But it's not so I just want to clarify that.
Right. So I think the reason I'm saying that is because when eventually you all draft a proposal, you also refer to the MSR version you have used. And, maybe by that time, if MSR3 is out, you would probably be saying that the version is based on MSR3, even though it uses exactly the same code points for Latin script as MSR2. but the documented version is going to be MSR 3 from your proposal, and then that may actually or I guess another way is that you just go back and update this when MSR 3 comes back. So it's not really a big issue in that sense. I guess what I was suggesting was that if we make it generic, it may address Matt's comment as well, but not a necessary action at this time, I guess.
Got it. No, thank you, Salman. No, I think I got it. It's not so much about the substance of MSR2, but it's more of the version control. And I'm fine with removing 2, and just as we publish this this work, we can update the reference to which version we actually use. Now, if I go back to Matt's comment, I think Matt's is more concerned about the substance of MSR2. Is that right, Matt? So you're saying that we should not start with MSR, whether it's 1 or 2 or 3. It just MSR is not the good starting point. Was that in essence, your comment?
This is not. No, I think it's fine to start the work with MSR 2, but the final product should be the variants based on the repertoire that we suggest. Not all Latin code points in the latest version of MSR.
Yes, yes. No, and thank you for bringing that up. So that phase, I don't have our working plan as the Latin pan in front of me, but that's the next phase, right? And Mijana can keep me honest here. So we are currently at the phase to define the principles and start working on the inventory, repertoire and variant groups. There's going to be a next phase where we repertoire and variant groups, we integrate our work so that, and in that phase, we, variant group, will look at the final repertoire and do the adjustments, either to remove code points or variant sets that result in that removal of the code point, or adding variant sets because we didn't capture a new code point that you added. Okay, so that will happen, and that's why I'm saying here we qualify the scope, because we're going to start the analysis here based on the plan of record, right? We're going to start in parallel. We don't know what the final repertoire is going to be, so we'll start with MSR2, and as we go along, we hope or we are expecting that we variant group and the repertoire groups, we have constant communication so that we are keep up to date as to which coupons you are adding, and we can go back to our work and do the adjustments on the go, on the fly, and so that at the end of the day, the integration work is much easier. Right? So what you're suggesting is the endpoint, right, that we are going to do the variant, the final variant set that we're going to propose for the final work is going to be based on the Latin coupon repertoire that may or may not be an exact match to MSR, whatever version is for the Latin script at that point. But today, we have to use both. We keep an open mind, if you will, and as we go along, we have to adjust. I mean, I know for some of us it's not the ideal work, but I think that's the way we decided to go about our work and start doing the job.
Yes, Dennis, you are right. It was the initial plan. We should start with MSR2 and then adjust when we finish repertoire, adjust the variant results after the repertoire is finished. So that was the initial plan.
Thanks, Mirjana. Any other comments as to the scope? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to the next page on type of variants. So in this section, we are trying to capture the most common, if not all, of the variant type, potential variant types that we're going to encounter by us analyzing different languages, right? At the language level, there are going to be many variant cases, from visual similarity to semantics, right? Language convention, that is, like digraph, ligatures, phonetics, that we are here, you see some of the examples. And also a third case, which is the normalization exceptions. Those are maybe the most rare cases that I think we're going to find, but we are, based on Sarmat's experience, I think we may find some of those, so we want to capture those here. And this is where, I think this is one of the cases where we, as subgroups, we need to collaborate the most, since you are going to be analyzing coupons, coupon sequences, and potentially we'll find whether there is a variant or variant of that sequence in there, right? So we would appreciate when you find those type of sequences, you alert us or send us a note so that we put it in the inventory and do the analysis. I want to stop here, pause here, and ask for comments, questions, as far as here. So Matt has an online question. Is this session really about semantics? Well, semantics in the broad sense, Matt, of meaning, right?
Matt wants to say something. He raised
yes.
his hand.
Okay, thank you. Matt, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't see the meaning in the examples. I don't see meaning in characters. They don't carry, I mean, especially the Latin script units, they don't carry meaning.
Well, in the
this is semantics.
So, in the broad sense, that a sequence like the ones here, right? Maybe we might need to find another word, but here what we're trying to say is that a coupon sequence, for example, in the ligature AE, coupon 00E6, is treated the same way or equally as a sequence of letter A and letter E in the language in that particular community, right? It's treated as the same as. So that's what we're saying. It's semantics, but we might need a linguistics to propose a new term that actually conveys what we're trying to say here. But that's really it, right? It's a cases where a character coupon or a sequence is treated the same way as another one. Another example is in the language conventions like the German SS, which is converted to SS, and the O with the umlauts in German, for example. So that's what we're trying to convey here. It's not meaning of a word, of a sentence, but it's the treatment of equivalent between two coupons or coupon sequences. Does that answer your question, Matt? No. Okay, thank you.
Yes, kind of answer, but I disagree because this is not what I feel that this is not the field of semantics. This is, we talk about maybe graphemes and allographs or something like that. This is not the level of semantics. So I don't think it's I don't think it's correct to use the word semantics or meaning, because they don't carry meaning. Letters, in a word, don't carry meaning.
Is there a linguistic term that we should be using?
You can talk about grapheme or an allograph.
Matt, just like phonemes
and
let's take it offline. We noted. Yeah, we'll find another word, but we don't have to find that here, because I know there is a packed agenda and we'll still have just 11 minutes. So let's move on. So for number three, normalization exceptions, I note that SARMA added a few items here to take a look. Okay, so it's more of a clarifying statement, so I think we're going to be okay with those. Are there any other questions, comments, as far as normalization exception cases? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to work procedure.
There is
a question. I mean,
I was just going to point out Matt. Matt has raised his hand.
Okay, Matt, go ahead, please.
Yeah, we talk about normalization here. In Unicode, there is there's something called normalization, and I'm not sure that this falls into the Unicode normalization. If it doesn't, we should try to use a different expression so that it's not confused confused with Unicode normalization.
No, I think we are talking about Unicode normalization. So that is two codebound sequences not normalizing to a single equivalent canonical form. And there are a few cases within the Latin script and other scripts that two sequences do not normalize to the same canonical form. And those cases we'll see if there is a qualified dose as a variant treatment or not. Does that answer your question, Matt?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Any other hands on the queue?
No hands.
All right.
You can
so
proceed.
So let's keep on work procedure. This is very rough picture of what going to go next, right? As the IP suggested, we ought to start with the cross-script analysis, and that's what we are going to do. That will accomplish two things, right? We can show our progress to the IP in the next ICANN meeting, and also we'll give the repertoire group time to build up some of the inventory before we can actually start the in-script analysis. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to start looking at the other generation panels work, starting with Cyrillic, which is the most obvious one and the one that we already have work, to start looking at the potential variant cases for those and define what's going to be the variant treatment, the variant, all the disposition rules and basically all the binary rules and sets. And that's it for us. So I'm going to stop here and ask for final comments, observations, before I turn the mic to Mirjana or Samad.
This is Armad. Just want to make a comment, small comment.
Yes, Armad, please go ahead.
So if you go up to types of variants,
yep.
There's just a small discussion between Pitinan and myself. She was pointing out that types could be confused with the types which are used for variants in RFC 7940, which are allocatable and blocked. So maybe an alternate word would be useful just to avoid that confusion.
Thank you, Sarman. That's a good point. Thank you. We'll find another word. Correct. It's that all of it. Thank you. So we'll start the work now. Well, we'll finalize based on the feedback that we got today, and we'll start working and we'll start sharing our work with you in I think in a 2-week basis when the panel meets again and we can proceed. Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis, very much. Thank you. So the next point in our agenda is at least we have now two draft documents. I want to ask Sarmad, what should be our next steps if we want to publish those two documents for unofficial public comments?
What I would request you, in any case, I think this is not a official public comment, right? So
no,
I can, when we, I think next step is to draft a message on behalf of Latin GP for the community. And then I guess we can, once we have the final form, we can post the final form at the Latin GP wiki page, and then all of us use the same message which has been developed by Latin Generation Panel and circulate that to everybody, which actually links back to those documents and asks for feedback. So I think it would be useful to have that short email which we can circulate, all of us can circulate to relevant community members to look at these two documents and give feedback to us. So that it would be useful to draft that short statement or email so that all of us can use the same.
Okay, I'll try to draft a message on behalf of Latin GP. In the meantime, I hope Dennis could find the replacement for the specific terms which he promised during today's presentation, and repertoire criteria is finished. So I will draft the message and send it to the Latin GP mailing list for everyone to see. Maybe I will not do it in the proper way. Okay. And after that, we shall send this message formally to you, Sarmad, with the addresses of two documents we have finished now, and you will communicate after that the unofficial public comment will start somehow. Is it okay?
Right. I think we also need the final versions of both the documents so that I can post it on the wiki page. Currently, we don't really have a link. The link's pointing to the Google Docs, which may not be visible to everybody. So we'll need a public version of these documents once they're finalized. And then, yes, once we have everything together, then we can start sending the message out. Thank you.
As I saw, today, Matt has finished the version of repertoire principles, and we shall wait a few more days. Dennis, please, you will signal us when you think that the variant document is finished so that Sarmat can publish it on the wiki pages, and In the meantime, I will draft a message and send it on the Latin GP mailing list, which will be used for communicating, for asking community about unofficial public comments. It seems to me that it is that we covered everything for up to now for this about this topic. Has anyone anything to add to my discussion? Sorry for my bad English. I'm now on the west coast of the United States. It's too early for me. Mats is typing something. It is fine. Okay. Thank you, Mats. Thank you, Mats, very much. We had another topic which I wanted to discuss with the Latin Generation panel. That's our that's the presentations we have to give during the next ICANN meeting in Abu Dhabi. I think it is in Abu Dhabi. I don't know who is going there, but at least we shall we have. Yes. Yes, thank you, Bill. But I'm still not awake completely. Mats will be on, and Michael will be at ICANN 60. I'm going also there. CCNSO is paying for my travel. So we have Michael, Mats, Mirjana, Bill. At least the four of us will be there, and maybe someone more will come also. So I was thinking to share the tasks of making presentations. As Sarmat said, we should have one a public meeting where we should present our work and discuss with the people what we are doing and how we are doing. We had something similar last time in Copenhagen, and also we should have one short presentation for Sarmat, could you remind me?
Yes, so we are planning for two sessions, if you all agree. So normally we do a short presentation during IDN program update, which is just 5 minutes. So that doesn't really cover details, but just is there to inform the community that what's going on. And then we have a detailed session, which is 75 minutes. And then that gives a opportunity to make more detailed presentation, possibly raise any issues. Obviously, the integration panel members are going to be there. The other community members are going to be there. So that gives opportunity to discuss some of the details as well. So those are the two sessions planned, if that's okay with the Latin Generation panel.
It seems there this 5 minute presentation, I can take it. Or I can. It will be just the information for the community what we have done up to date, and where we are at this moment in our work. But this 75 minutes presentation we have to divide somehow, and because to divide between members who will be present in the future during ICANN 60. So. As Dennis agreed, as Dennis proposed in one of his mails, it will be the good opportunity to present our thoughts and problems we have. And I don't have the clear vision at this moment in my head, but it seems to me that the part of the presentation should be that we should present what we have done up to date, up to this moment, that we should present our principles for inclusion and inclusion in repertoire, and also principles for variants, and ask community and the integration panel just to start the discussion and to see, are we on the right way? I think we are, but we need some kind of affirmation of our work.
Matt has raised his hand, and I should also point to that.
I don't see Matt's hand.
Over time.
Sorry, Matt, please.
Yeah, I took it down again. I thought that the 75 minutes were a face-to-face workshop that we had together, but it apparently isn't. So I think we should meet too, and internal discussions while we are there, at least if we are enough people.
But as I understood, these 75 minutes should present our work in more details to the community, and it should be used for discussion with the integration panel to resolve, let's say, some confusions or problems or misunderstanding or things like this. And as Sarmat told me before, we should have another face-to-face meeting of the whole group, Latin GP group, which should last a few days, maybe like this one we had in Istanbul last time, when we should be close to the end of our work. I don't know. Sarmat, could you help us with this?
Right. So as far as the face-to-face meeting of the group is concerned, I think that's more dedicated time normally, and we can plan it after the ICANN 60 meeting. This particular session is just 75 minutes, so it's an opportunity to discuss things with the community and integration panel members, specific issues which you guys need to resolve, for example. As a Latin generation panel. Whenever there's a need, maybe later this year, we can organize a second face-to-face mm-hmm. meeting. We leave that to, of course, the Latin generation panel to decide. But in any case, a face-to-face meeting for the whole panel is hard to organize with an ICANN meeting because there's just so much other things going on. Thank you.
Amado, please, will you turn off your mic? Yeah, thank you. Okay, Mats, I hope this clarifies our situation. So we should focus on 75 minutes, and probably we should have three presentations or something like this. One which will speak about about the work of the whole panel, and the two specific ones done probably by Mats but Dennis won't be here. Dennis won't be on the ICANN 60. From someone other who will present the results of variant group and something like this. That's my first idea, but we could discuss it. We could discuss it on the. Me and Sarmad, we should suggest something to the panel, and we could discuss it on the mail. Because we are on the top of the hour, we passed 8 minutes, the full hour, so I have to close the meeting. And to thank everyone, we have finished one very important part of our job, yes. And we should face the next phase of our work. Thank you very much for every. Thank you very much everybody who contributed to this meeting, and you all hear you next time. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye.